right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are now in the back half of this weekend show, shifting our focus to the precious metals sector because, look, that sector is drastically outperforming pretty much everything else in the markets. Gold continues to push higher. Silver had another good week, and the gold and silver stocks also joining into the party. It's actually been a commodities rally too, with copper also doing quite well. But again, most of the focus here being on the precious metals, what is driving the metals continuously higher and what's separating them from the markets, as well as diving down into some of the equities. We're chatting with Brian London now. Brian is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference this year, happening November 2nd to 5th. Brian, before we get into sector-specific comments, let's quickly recap the conferences in Toronto that you just attended, the Metals Investor Forum and the PDAC conference. Look, this is a bull market that we're in. So some of the comments I've heard is that the mood generally was better there, and hey, there's people making money in the sector. So what did you take away from those conferences?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. They were good. You know, the Metals Investor Forum had great attendance. I think if you were to throw out the Vancouver event a month earlier, it would have been the best attended ever. But the Vancouver event was just bursting at the seams of attendance. But this one was great. A lot of good companies. And I think at that conference, more so than the big circus that PDAC is, you get a feeling for the enthusiasm of the individual investors. And it was very enthusiastic. You know, there's a sense of FOMO kind of creeping in. We especially saw that between the January events and this March event, that FOMO started to creep in the market. And then we had that big correction. But, you know, nobody was really fazed by it. We gained over, you know, $200 in the gold price over the course of about a month. And we had given about $100 of it back. Not that bad. You know, we were lamenting over the fact that we couldn't maintain $2,900 on the gold price when a year earlier, you know, we would have been stupefied by that fact. So it ain't bad right now. And as we've seen since then, and actually even during that event, gold already started to rebound. And the mining stocks, unlike or better than at any point over the past year. And this really, this event marked the 1 year anniversary of this latest gold bull market. The mining stocks have begun to really respond and leverage the metals. Unfortunately, on that little pullback that we got in that correction, they also leveraged to the downside. But the essential point was, and that I made to the audiences that I spoke to, was that investors were now using the mining stocks as a way to leverage the metals. And that's what we were waiting to see happen. And it's starting to happen now.
Well, Brian, just to that point where investors are finally using the mining stocks as a call option on higher prices and as an outperformance mechanism, and we're finally seeing it reflect in a lot of the mining stocks. We are talked a little bit off mic about how even lately you've put out some information on social media and other people have been echoing the same point that we're finally seeing pretty good performance that stands in stark contrast to what we're seeing in U.S. equities. As they've pulled back and had a lot of red days, sometimes the only thing in the green are the value sectors. It highlights the strength that gold has had. But again, silver has been peppy. It's above $34 at the time of this recording. And we've seen the gold and silver stocks finally responding. Is there money rotation coming out of some of the other sectors and finally rotating into the sector, new money?
Yeah, there is. And I think it's very important. And that post I made on X got a lot of traction. But I'm not the only person, as I pointed out in that post, that has been talking about that. Jordan Roy Byrne has been talking about it forever. Ronnie Stoeffle has been talking about it and noting it. But over the past few days, as we speak, and really this week, we saw the gold divided by S&P 500 ratio really break out from a four-year base and break above previous highs. And we are seeing that rotation. You know, both of you know, that I have been somewhat skeptical of the point that Jordan and other people have made that we really need a stock market, serious stock market correction, if not a crash, to get a breakout in the metals and the mining stocks. I just really have believed that Fed policy drives everything in the markets these days, and any sign that the Fed is going to loosen again would drive all the risk assets up, including the metals. And of course, to some degree, that's happened, but we haven't seen the mining stocks respond. And I've kind of evolved my view to understand and to appreciate that we really need to get the investors involved in the market. We need that rotation out of other risk assets into risk assets like mining stocks to see the outperformance in that sector. You know, most of, if not all of, or I guess the vast majority of the demand for metals, for gold and silver so far this year, primarily gold, has been insurance and not investment oriented. And we really need to get the risk takers, the traders, the investors who are looking for some torque on the move to get to come into the market, rotate into the mining stocks. And again, this sector is tiny compared to all of the huge pools of capital that are sloshing around the world. So just a little bit of a shift in allocations is going to have a tremendous effect on mining equities.
Brian, as much as central banks, the Fed in particular, drive policy, look, this just seems like a perfect storm for gold right now, even outside of Fed policy, because we'll hear from the Fed, I believe, next week, but they're not expected to cut rates right now. We've heard even in the earlier part of this weekend show from Peter Buchvar that the Fed is kind of stuck right now because of what's going on politically here. We have trade wars that the U.S. is instigating pretty much around the world. Economic uncertainty that includes negative GDP forecasts for the U.S. So that whole negative economic aspect for the U.S. Tariffs are a major concern. That seems to be on not just traders' minds, but on governments' minds that ties in with that trade war. And there doesn't seem to be an end game, at least right now, to these tariffs. It's kind of a new mix that we have here. So isn't it more than just the Fed policy? It really seems like everything is lining up for gold in terms of that defensive trade. People don't know what to do with their money now, and clearly they're not comfortable with the economic and political environment in the U.S.
Yeah, you know, Corey, I think you put your finger on another important development that we're seeing right now. Since, well, to a greater degree over the past 4.5 decades, Fed policy has dominated investment analysis, and especially after the 2008 great financial crisis. But we are seeing more factors come into play right now, for better or for worse, with the tariffs, with the inflation picture, with the fact that the Fed has to roll over, refinance between $7 and $9 trillion of debt this year, and without a eager buyers out there like it had in the past. So the Fed is trapped. I think the markets are recognizing that. Tariffs are highly inflationary. I think markets are recognizing that. And as they look ahead, again, for the insurance reasons, investors and savers and institutions and central banks see that gold works no matter what happens as we look ahead. And investors tend to flock to whatever is working. And if gold is working, then they want to gain leverage on that. And more than that, if gold is working in the broader equity markets, the Magnificent Seven, the AI thing, Bitcoin, aren't working, or at least are less certain, then they want to be, they have to put their money in something that's going to generate returns, and they're going to start following the leader.
Well, and Brian, just to add even another layer of things onto the mix that are working beyond just Fed policy, beyond just tariffs and geopolitics, there's also Q4 earnings that just came out. And like we hoped would happen, it's pretty evident to the world now that the gold and silver stocks that are producing these metals are making some of the fattest margins they've ever had. Record revenues, record margins that we've ever seen in the industry. And at a time where other sectors, maybe that spent too much on AI or invested too heavily in tech or growth, are struggling to have good earnings reports. So it's also a stark difference between the earnings reports from the metals sector versus a lot of other sectors. And you're looking at the economic studies that have come out on development stage companies and going, holy cow, at today's spot prices, look how much better the margins are, the NPV, the IRR, look how much better these economic reports are. Do you think that's yet another layer, just strict outperformance?
Yeah. And you know, we've been talking about this all year, that it's going to happen. And the markets, or the broader markets, Main Street and Wall Street, can't ignore bottom line returns. And that's what the miners are delivering to the market right now. It was a little bit choppy. We had some issues with some of the companies. You know, Newmont had to digest, Newcrest had their costs higher than expected, their ASIC higher than expected. We had problems with Barrick, with Mali, et cetera. All that's starting to be to fall into the rear window, rear view mirror rather. And now we're seeing these very thick margins and huge profits, and the miners are going to have to put it to work. But the comparison, as you mentioned, with the other sectors is stark, and it can't be ignored any longer. We hope we'll start to see some M&A activity, but even beyond that, you have a lot of the juniors. As you mentioned, a lot of the juniors that have big resources, and we've been talking about that over the past year, the companies that were at one point optionality plays, you know, out of the money at current gold prices, are now wildly economic. And I think that's going to be the next shoe to fall, that the market's going to start recognizing that these companies have to be re-rated. So that remains, in my view, a big sector of the market that, you know, going forward can offer drill hole returns with much less risk.
Brian, what comes first here in terms of kind of a chicken or the egg thing? Is it a re-rating in the overall sector of especially these, let's say, development plays, many of which already are doing well? Or do we start to see some of these assets actually getting built, whether it's through M&A or, quite frankly, some of these companies just being able to access the funds needed to actually move a project forward, almost like a Skeena situation where people were wondering if it was going to be bought out, but now they've shored up the financing and it seems like they're going to go at them themselves and build it?
Yeah, let's hope it's the re-rating, because the whole building part extends that process into years. But I do think that's going to happen. We're seeing groups able to attract big financings, a lot of them from Wall Street rather than the typical sector investment banks. So that's happening, and that will happen. But I think the re-rating will come first, because it really has to. If you're going to finance projects, it will happen. But there's attention being paid to companies when they put out good news. You know, one of the stalwarts of our gold newsletter portfolio is Meridian Gold, and it put out news on or released a PEA on its project in Brazil, and it was up 17% on the day that gold was losing, you know, just shy of 1%. And we saw the Dow shedding 1,000 points. You know, that stock was up 17% that day. So even in the face of headwinds like that, good news is starting to get traction in the market.
Brian, do you think sometimes our sector is even too volatile to attract certain generalists? The reason I ask is, look at the big deal people are making about a 10% drop in the S&P. They're acting like it's the end of the world. We see 10% drops and 10% pops every day in almost every stock in our portfolio. Like you're saying, stuff up 17%. We saw stocks up over 20% this week. Some stocks down 15%. Do you think the sector is just too volatile for some people to stomach?
You know, if you're looking at pension funds and the like, perhaps. But, you know, volatility is also to the upside, and upside volatility just attracts more buyers, more investors, more traders. And that's what we've had. That's the kind of volatility we've generally had. There's volatilities everywhere in the broader markets. We're seeing stocks, if you watch CNBC over the last couple of weeks, you're seeing stocks that are down 20% over a couple of weeks, that were previously the darlings of Wall Street. And of course, Bitcoin has been known for that kind of volatility, but it still attracts money when it's on an uptrend. I think what we're going to see this year in metals and miners is that from a macro perspective, a lot of trends are going to come to their crucial turning points. A lot of chickens are coming home to roost. I think this is the year it happens. And the metals and miners are going to respond to the upside, And that alone is going to attract a lot of trend followers.
So right now, as we said, gold stocks outperforming the markets. This can bring in trend followers because, quite frankly, the gold sector probably has one of the strongest trends throughout this year. GDX is up about 25% just this year. The S&P down about 10%. Now, Brian, what about that balance, though? We do hear that gold stocks are also stocks. So if the markets go through a prolonged correction, even a crash, does that worry you about the gold stocks? Or do you think there has been this separation now where the gold stocks could weather a storm that is a storm of the markets moving down significantly more?
Yeah, you know, let's not fool ourselves. If there is a liquidity event, a liquidity vacuum kind of an event, and we've seen this, of course, in the great financial crisis, the COVID crisis, et cetera, everything gets sold, even gold, even silver, et cetera. And mining stocks being paper, they're going to get sold off as well. But it's a short-term reaction because the Fed and the other central banks around the world will then very quickly come in and they will just blow your socks off with what they're going to do in terms of market rescue policies. They are going to have to do more than they did in COVID, many times more, very quickly to get the same kind of reaction from the markets, and they will. And of course, we saw in COVID, that was many times what they did in the great financial crisis, because the markets, investors, the economy has become addicted to ever easier money. Therefore, they have to keep ratcheting up the rescue efforts. So they're going to come in, and that liquidity event will soon be forgotten, and everything will pop up very quickly. You can't plan on that, though. You can't say, well, I'm going to wait till we have that crash and buy during the fire sale. Always great to have some dry powder, but if you wait for that, you may miss, and very likely will miss, much of the gains ahead. So my policy, as usual, is to be make sure you're positioned, make sure you're well allocated in the sector, and keep some powder dry. Be prepared to buy if there is that kind of liquidity event, because that's one of the surest things we've seen in very uncertain markets, is that when you have those kinds of steep sell-offs on a crisis, the market's going to pop back very quickly because the central banks are going to come in and by opening the floodgates, and they're going to float everything right back up.
Well, Brian, the central banks have been the ones really behind a lot of the move higher in gold. Now investors seem to be getting on sides with these moves, not just in the East, but finally in the West. Gold is the prime mover, but we can't ignore that silver has actually had a pretty good move. It's not up in their all-time highs and making new all-time highs like gold, but it's above 30. It's above 32. It's now above 34. If it was to really break out, a lot of times silver is the dark horse that comes from behind and surprises people. How are you looking at silver and silver stocks, their optionality in this kind of environment?
Yeah, I remain committed to silver. It's in a monetarily based bull market, which this is. Silver has always outperformed gold, and therefore, I think it's going to happen again. I think that there's another component now. You all know that I've been famous for dismissing the industrial angle for gold. I think that's hurt it more than helped it over the years. That said, my sources in the physical metals market, the physical precious metals trading market, say that there's a big silver supply crunch in play right now, and it's being driven by industrial demand, not as much monetary demand as we've seen in the past. So I've been predicting, and pretty vocally at these recent mining conferences, that we were about to see a big pop in the silver price. Now, I think the current one we're seeing right now is silver being drawn up by gold, but it's been frustrating. It hasn't been able to break out. $33 has been a key point, strong resistance, and it's broken through that right now. So I think this is very important. This could be the breakout, but we've said that before. You know, until we get well past $35, I'm not going to get too excited, but I do feel that move is inevitable, if not imminent.
Brian, I want to go back to something you said about that whole portfolio management there and how you are keeping at least some cash on hand in case of a liquidity event. Look, just looking at this bull market, this is the textbook bull market action. The winners keep on running. The better stocks keep on running. The juniors, broadly, they are not getting revalued, but some are. But when the juniors get broadly revalued and move so much higher, that can usually signify the end of a bull market. Also, tie that in with silver. Sometimes silver, when it spikes to $50, that has also signified at least short term, if not longer term, top there. So when you're looking at your portfolio, I know you do lean to some of these smaller junior stocks, but what do you think is a good balance there of holding some of these winners, holding some of these larger stocks that continue to move while you're still waiting for the juniors to move? But again, you don't want to be left behind because there are so many precious metal stocks doing well right now.
Yeah, you have to look at every holding you have, every company individually. You want to have a mix, and you know, you have reasons why you bought these stocks. But what I'm doing personally right now is going through some of my winners that maybe look like they're starting to get into the belly of the Lassonde curve. You know, that in 3 years, they'll be much higher. But what are they going to do over the next year, 18 months, compared to other companies that I'm seeing right now? So I'm starting to go through and kind of turn the soil in the garden, as it were, and trade some of my winners for some earlier stage companies or companies that have some kind of a catalyst coming up or maybe will be re-rated in the current market environment. So that said, selling some of my winners that have built up, you know, some capital, some value in my portfolio, I'm starting to deploy into earlier stage stories that I see coming out. We've recommended 4 over the past couple of weeks in Gold Newsletter and our Gold Newsletter service. And I'm also focusing on some of the larger resource plays that we talked about, companies that have big resources, primarily gold in the ground, and really, I think, need to be re-rated by the market in this current atmosphere. So those are primarily the two sectors that I'm putting money into right now.
All right. Brian, we're going to wrap it up here. Everyone, thanks for tuning in to this weekend show. Again, that was Brian London, editor of the Gold Newsletter and our host at the New Orleans Investment Conference. Everyone, please go back through our website, podcast, and YouTube channel to listen to all of our daily editorials and company updates from throughout the week. And please keep in touch with Shad and I through email. We love hearing from each and every one of you. And we really appreciate you taking some time over your weekend to listen to the show. Brian, thanks again for your time. And everyone, thanks for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, guys.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.